The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's Vision News is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up from the DetroitNews.com. Federal judge issues order in blind students' legal battle over access to Wayne State Law School. Article by Robert Snell, S-N-E-L-L. A federal judge has denied summary judgment requests in a civil lawsuit filed by a legally blind Wayne State University Law School student who accused school officials of failing to reasonably accommodate her disability. The opinion and order from U.S. District Judge Robert White, released Friday, keep alive a federal court lawsuit filed in 2023 by 31-year-old law school student Hind Omar. The Ypsilanti woman sued after university officials granted various accommodation requests regarding testing and technology, but denied her request for a fully remote distance learning program, saying it would represent a fundamental alteration to the school's course of study, the judge noted. A defendant need not make such accommodations if doing so would result in a fundamental alteration in the nature of a service program or activity, or in undue financial and administrative burdens, the judge wrote in response to motions for summary judgment filed by the university and Omar. People are entitled to reasonable accommodations that provide meaningful access to a public entity, but are not entitled to their preferred accommodations, the judge added. Most importantly, given conflicting evidence in the record, reasonable jurors could conclude that the university did not conscientiously explore alternatives for accommodating Omar's disabilities because the university effectively shut down her primary request without adequate consideration of her specific disabilities and needs, White wrote. University spokesman Matt Lockwood declined comment. The case will continue toward trial. We can expect that this case will alter the practices of colleges and universities to provide remote access to students with disabilities, Omar's lawyer David Nacht wrote in an email to the Detroit News. COVID-19 changed what is normal, Nacht added. Tens of millions of Americans went to school or worked remotely. Even if remote access is no longer the norm, employers and colleges should provide that opportunity for disabled people to participate fully in American life. Also Friday, the judge dismissed Omar's claim under Michigan's Persons with Disabilities Civil Rights Act because the university has sovereign immunity. This case presents a triable issues of fact regarding the reasonableness of Omar's requested accommodations as well as her qualification for the program and the reasonableness of the university's proposed alternatives, White wrote. Omar has a degenerative eye disease and has been visually impaired since birth. The University of Michigan graduate was accepted at Wayne State Law School for the fall 2023 semester and engaged in discussions about accommodations. Despite these purported distinctions between fully remote classes and a single student attending remotely, the court concludes that in our post-COVID world and given the law school's past and continuing experiences with remote learning, whether Omar's request amounted to a fundamental alteration of the law school program is a factual question for a jury. Email rsnell@detroitnews.com. From nopbc.org, join us in New Orleans. Each year, the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, hosts an annual seminar within the National Federation of the Blind's annual convention. Federation members and friends of all ages will gather to learn and share, reconnect with old friends, and form new friendships. The NOPBC annual seminar includes many sessions and workshops on a wide variety of interesting topics. We're gathering together in person. Please join us for the 2025 NOPBC seminar. The 2025 NOPBC seminar will be held in person in New Orleans, Louisiana, July 8 through 13, 2025, in conjunction with the annual convention of the National Federation of the Blind. NOPBC registration at the hot link. Please contact NOPBC President Cassandra McKinney at president@nopbc.org with any questions or for information about how to register without using PayPal. Registration fees until July 1st, $35 per person, $50 per family. Single reservation registration includes NOPBC membership through December 31, 2025. Single registration includes one annual subscription for Freedom Scientific Software, JAWS, Fusion, or ZoomText. Family registration includes two memberships and two software subscriptions. After July 1, including on-site registration, $40 per person or $55 per family. Single registration includes NOPBC membership through December 31st, 2025. Single registration includes one annual subscription for Freedom Scientific Software, JAWS, Fusion, or ZoomText. Family registration includes two memberships and two software subscriptions. YouthTrack. YouthTrack is open to all blind and low vision students, children of blind adults, and sighted siblings aged 11 to 18. Pre-registration is required. There's a hot link for the YouthTrack registration form. Help us improve. Your feedback is essential in helping us enhance future NOPBC seminars at the NFB National Convention. By sharing your thoughts, you help us create more impactful sessions, address the needs of families and blind children, and strengthen our community. Please take a few moments to complete the forms below. 2025 NOPBC Seminar Concurrent Session Evaluation Form. 2025 NOPBC Post-Seminar Survey. Please also review the following. Hot links. National Federation of the Blind Code of Conduct. Youth Program Participant Protection Policy. Hot links. NOPBC Announcements GroupMe Group. Join the NOPBC Announcements GroupMe Group in order to receive information about NOPBC happenings at National Convention and throughout the year. Click at the hot link to learn more. Contact information, National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, 200 East Wells Street at Jernigan Place, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230. Phone 603-903-5855. Email president@nopbc.org. From fightingblindness.org, Aetsena receives $150 million in new financing to advance XLRS and preclinical gene therapy programs. Aetsena Therapeutics, a company developing gene therapies for inherited retinal diseases, IRDs, closed a $150 million oversubscribed Series C financing. Proceeds from the investment will be used to advance ATSN-201, Aetsena's first-in-class investigational gene therapy for X-linked retinoschisis, RETINOSCHISIS, also known as XLRS, in a Phase 1-2 clinical trial. The investment will also be used to advance other preclinical gene therapy programs. As an oversubscribed financing, Aetsena received more investment interest than it was seeking. New investor Bain Capital, B-A-I-N, led the financing with participation from new investor Wellington Management. All existing investors also participated in the Series C financing, including the RD Fund, the venture arm of the foundation, Lightstone Ventures, Sofinnova Investments, that's S-O-F-I-N-N-O-V-A, Abingworth, A-B-I-N-G-W-O-R-T-H, Hatteras Venture Partners, Osage University Partners, and the Manning Family Foundation. The substantial oversubscribed financing for Aetsena affirms the company's differentiated platform for demonstrating significant clinical benefit through well-designed trials, said Rusty Kelly, Ph.D., MBA, Managing Director of the RD Fund. Aetsena has inspired the field, the community, and investors with technologies that restore vision, and we are proud of the RD Fund's pivotal role in building Aetsena since its inception. Aetsena has initiated Part B of the Phase 1-2 Lighthouse clinical trial for ATSN-201 XLRS, which is enrolling 9 adults and 3 pediatric patients. Aetsena has reported encouraging results for Part A of Lighthouse, which evaluated 3 different doses of ATSN-201 in 9 adult patients. Updated data from this ongoing clinical trial evaluating is anticipated later this year. The company successfully completed a phase 1-2 trial for ATSN-101, an emerging gene therapy for Leber congenital amaurosis 1, LCA1, which is caused by mutations in the gene GUCY2D. The trial demonstrated significant clinical benefit across age ranges and stages of disease progression. In November 2024, Atsena and Nippon Shinyaku, a pharmaceutical company based in Kyoto, Japan, entered into a license agreement for the development and commercialization of ATSN-101, including an anticipated global pivotal trial. Atsena's gene therapies were developed in the laboratory of Atsenacone founder and chief scientific officer Shannon Boye, B-O-Y-E, Ph.D. at the University of Florida. Dr. Boye has received significant funding from the foundation over several years, including a Gund Harrington Award, to support the development of a USH1B gene therapy licensed to Atsena. The USH1B is caused by mutations in MYO7A, a gene too large for most viral delivery systems. Atsena's USH1B gene therapy leverages the company's dual adeno-associated virus, AAV, delivery system and novel spreading capsids, AAV.SPR, to deliver large genes to the retina and is currently in preclinical development. From NFB.org, Diabetes Action Network. DAN is hosting a seminar to empower diabetics with the knowledge and tools to manage their medical health. The Diabetes Action Network, a division of the National Federation of the Blind, is a support and information network for all diabetics, especially those who are blind or losing vision. Many of our members have experienced the ramifications of diabetes, such as blindness, amputation, nerve damage, heart problems, kidney disease, etc. Others have experienced no chronic complications but want to utilize our services, learn more about diabetes, and be part of a caring support group. In addition to reaching out to fellow diabetics who may be finding it difficult to cope with problems that accompany diabetes, we provide support and information to interested persons. Please join our listserv at the hot link. We have discussions covering all aspects of living with diabetes. Blind diabetics and those losing vision can continue to be independent. The blind can and do accurately draw insulin, monitor blood glucose levels, etc. Limitations are usually self-imposed, and often all that is needed to overcome negative thinking is simply to know where to go for information. Some equipment, for instance audio output devices, has been adapted for the blind. By using alternative techniques and products, the blind can control their diabetes as efficiently as their sighted peers. Upcoming events. Below is a listing of DAN's events. Knowledge is Sweet Seminar. Date, May 16 and 17, 2025. Location, National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute in Baltimore, Maryland. Join us for our second annual NFB Diabetes Action Network Knowledge is Sweet Seminar. This year's event will take place May 16 and 17, 2025 at the National Federation of the Blind Jernigan Institute in Baltimore, Maryland. The seminar will empower blind and low-vision diabetics with the information and perspective to take control of their medical health while fostering connections between consumers, medical practitioners, health professionals, and technology developers. Registration. The online registration for the Knowledge Suite seminar is now open. We are offering two types of attendance. You may select between virtual or in-person attendance. In-person attendance, standard registration, $200. Complete the in-person Knowledge Suite seminar registration at the hot link. Virtual attendance. Virtual attendees will only be able to stream the event. Virtual registration is $100. Complete the virtual Knowledge Suite seminar registration at the hotlink. Agenda, hotlink, review the Knowledge Suite seminar agenda for the schedule of events. Sponsorships. Interested in sponsoring this event? Review our sponsorship proposals at the hotlink. Benefits and resources. Members of the Diabetes Action Network enjoy unique benefits such as access to publications, automatic access to committees covering all aspects of diabetes, free counseling concerning all facets of blindness and diabetes, as well as access to diabetics who have experienced complications. Members of the Diabetes Action Network also automatically become members at large of the National Federation of the Blind. Blindness-related products which enable blind and low-vision people to perform everyday tasks more independently can be ordered from the NFB's Independence Market at the Hotlink. Diabetic Living Magazine is available through NFB Newsline, a free audio news service for anyone who is blind, low-vision, or otherwise print disabled. It offers access to more than 500 publications, emergency weather alerts, job listings, and more. Our mission: the NFB Diabetes Action Network educates, empowers, and inspires people living with diabetes and its complications. We share the Federation's can-do philosophy through our various publications, volunteer peer support, and advocacy for accessible diabetes technology. Together, we challenge one another to live our best and fullest lives. More about the NFB Diabetes Action Network. Diabetes is the leading cause of blindness among working-age adults. That's why the National Federation of the Blind, the largest and most influential membership organization of blind people in the United States, established the NFB Diabetes Action Network, NFB-DAN, 22 years ago. The NFB-DAN improves lives through advocacy, education, research, technology development, and programs encouraging independence and self-confidence. Originally, the goal of NFB-DAN was simple: to educate, empower, and inspire blind and visually impaired people with diabetes to manage their condition independently and confidently, and to advocate for accessible diabetes products. Thousands of NFB-DAN members manage multiple complications of diabetes, not just vision loss. So our mission has also expanded to include people with all kinds of diabetic complications. NFB-DAN volunteers share their experiences and encouragement with those facing similar complications, such as kidney failure, amputation, and neuropathy. For more information, please contact President Debbie Wunder, W-U-N-D-E-R. Email debbiewunder at charter.net. Phone 573-268-6989. Mailing list nfbnet.org/mailman/listinfo/diabetes-talk_nfbnet.org. NFB-DAN is a proud partner of the State of Diabetes Complications in America. From AFB.org, I have 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Awards. The American Foundation for the Blind, AFB, is proud to announce the 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Awards, HKAA, an evening dedicated to honoring true champions of change who are leading the way toward full inclusion and equal opportunity for people who are blind, deafblind, or have low vision. This prestigious event will take place on April 24, 2025, at the historic New York Yacht Club in the heart of Manhattan. Since its founding in 1994, this annual event has celebrated individuals and organizations whose transformative work has significantly impacted the lives of people with disabilities. Join us in honoring our 2025 awardees whose achievements inspire progress and drive meaningful change. 2025 honorees: Mattel, creator of Blind Barbie. Mattel is recognized for its global impact on the inclusion of people who are blind or have low vision following the release of the Blind Barbie Fashionista doll in 2024. Learn more in our press release. Mattel receives 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Award. Andrew Leland, accomplished author. Andrew Leland is recognized for his powerful contributions to disability storytelling. Learn more in our press release. Author Andrew Leland receives 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Award. Celebrate with us. Tickets for the 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Awards are now available. Our 2025 honorees will be announced soon. Secure your spot at the Hotlink. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Email us at partners@afb.org to learn how you can support this event. There's a Hotlink for that. Sponsorship packages. Location: celebrating in NYC. We're thrilled to host the 2025 Helen Keller Achievement Awards at the iconic New York Yacht Club, located at 37 West 44th Street, New York, New York, 10036. New York City holds a special significance in the history of AFB and Helen Keller herself. AFB's headquarters were based in NYC for many years, with Helen Keller personally laying the first brick of the building. Stay connected. Sign up for event updates. Want to stay informed about the latest developments for HKAA 2025? Sign up for our Helen Keller Achievement Awards updates to ensure you're in the loop. Subscribe to HKAA updates at the Hotlink. Contact us. Have questions about the event? Our AFB communications team is here to assist. Reach out to us anytime at communications@afb.org. From nextavenue.org, Stirring Through Challenges in the Kitchen, Strategies for People with Disabilities. Lower cabinets, room for wheelchairs, and adaptive appliances help create more independent living. When Sharon McLennan Weir cooks, that's W-I-E-R, bakes and boils, teapots whistle, timers ring, and a kitchen scale talks. Buzzers sound when water reaches its boiling point, and as it hits the tip of her coffee cup. There's an image of a blind African-American woman with a yellow wig touching buttons on her oven. A Magno Wonder knife works wonders. Its scalloped edges prevent her from cutting her fingers. She uses an oven rack puller to push and pull hot racks out of the stove. She presses buttons on a dishwasher and feels for bump dots affixed to appliances that tell her what they are. Siri reads recipes from her iPhone. I walk into stuff. I break stuff. Being blind is not easy, McLennan Weir says. She uses an orientation mobility cane. I've been hit by a car 3 times. I fell onto the subway tracks. For people with physical disabilities, aging in place, or temporarily disabled due to illness or injury, navigating through home kitchens can be a daunting experience. Some houses and apartments are specifically designed or remodeled for the needs of their users, while adaptive appliances and technology help create more independent living. According to the 2022 United States Census, 44.1 million, or 13.4% of the population, live with a disability. In New York State, where McLennan Weir lives, 3,984,636 adults, or 1 in 4 adults, have a disability. McLennan Weir, 53, serves as the executive director of the Center for Independence of the Disabled New York, a nonprofit group that's part of a national network of grassroots and community-based organizations providing services for people with disabilities. McLennan Weir is a counseling psychologist and licensed mental health counselor and holds a PhD, MS in education, CRC, and LMHC. McLennan Weir's favorite color is pink, the last color she saw before she lost her vision at the age of 6. When she cooks, she listens for the click of the gas coming on and feels the heat of the flames against her hand. She pulls on elbow-length oven mitts to avoid burning her arms. Her kitchen, designed for simplicity, includes built-ins, a wall oven, dishwasher, and refrigerator with an ice maker and cabinets. She walks barefoot to feel dust and crumbs under her feet. Clutter is avoided to avoid trips and falls in the customized home in Dutchess County, where she and her husband live. Nothing moves, she says. While a new home or renovation may not be within everyone's budget, rental agreement, or space limitations, disability advocate Emmy Ladau, L-A-D-A-U, recommends improvisation. I'm not a huge proponent of universal design, says Ladau, 33, editor of Able News and author of Demystifying Disability, because I don't think there is such a thing as universality in design. I'm more a proponent of adaptable design or flexible design and recognizing everyone's individual needs. There's an image of a woman in a wheelchair checking the temperature of blueberry muffins that she just pulled out of her oven. Her parents remodeled the kitchen in their 1950s West Babylon Long Island home specifically for her. Emily and her mother Ellen have Larson syndrome, a rare genetic disorder that affects the development of muscles and bones. Both use power wheelchairs. There's a hot link for Larson syndrome, L-A-R-S-E-N. Ellen, 63, and her husband hired Vita and Jerry Burdi, B-U-R-D-I, of DJ's home improvements to bring down the height of cabinets, add deep pull-out drawers, move a sink away from the wall, and remove under-sink cabinets so that wheelchairs could slide underneath. They added an induction cooktop and built a bridge between two cabinets by covering them with wood paneling for more countertop space. For Vita Birdi, walnut ovens and microwaves above stoves are to be avoided. The wall oven door comes down. People are reaching over the stove, over flames, to take something out, she explains. That's an accident waiting to happen. A jacket could get caught. And try to lift out a casserole and get it down to the stovetop. It's really dangerous. Adaptations. The Birdies worked closely with the Ladaus, asking questions, taking notes, and revising diagrams and materials as they collaborated on their kitchen design. It was a really empowering process because they gave me the autonomy and the decision-making power, and then they said, here's what we think will work based on what you're telling us, Emily says. And when her mother's health changed, the kitchen fit her needs as well. At one time, I was fully ambulatory. As years have gone by, a combination of osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis has taken its toll, says Ellen, a retired healthcare office manager. I gradually transitioned from walking to walking with a walker to walking with leg braces, then a walker, and then a wheelchair. The Ladaus sold their home in 2024 and followed their daughter to New Jersey when she moved to be closer to her fiancé. They live in the same 5-year-old apartment building, one that is ADA compliant, that requires new housing to include elevators and accessible entryways. Ellen regrets reviewing her apartment's floor plan, but not visiting before moving in. I hadn't physically been in the kitchen, which was really pretty dumb, she says, and discovering that the kitchen island is too big for her wheelchair. I cannot do a 360-degree turn by the kitchen sink, Ellen says. I have to access the sink sideways, or by getting out of my chair, standing for however long I can, and getting back in the wheelchair. Great at gadgets. With a pair of long kitchen tongs, she picks up stray blueberries and other items, and moves a damp rag with the tongs to clean up spills. My mom is the queen of gadgets, Emily says. They often purchase gadgets from the Container Store and browse Amazon for product ideas. OXO Good Grips, Maxi Aids, Walmart's line of accessible tableware, and Independent Living Aids offer adaptable kitchen aids. There are hot links for each of those. Ellen's husband lifts heavy pots and pans. After being burned by the oven door, she purchased an Oster countertop oven with French doors. I don't make a pot of pasta when I'm by myself, she says, but if I want to throw together banana bread or muffins, I can manage. The biggest thing for me is not so much adapted equipment, but maximizing functionality and minimizing effort. Her kitchen includes a refrigerator with a freezer on the bottom. You don't want a block of meat to fall on you, she warns. Ellen reaches for silverware, break-resistant cups, and dishes stored in lower cabinets for easier accessibility, and slow cooks in a beloved crock pot. But she misses the induction cooktop from her old kitchen. Here we have gas. I keep a fire extinguisher, blanket, and fire spray. If you're looking for safety, induction is the way to go, she advises. Microwave only. Kathy Collins' refrigerator is practically empty, and her stove is dusty in her Manhattan co-op apartment. Her boyfriend, who lives 2 blocks away, does most of the cooking, so the microwave sitting on a low table doesn't get used very often. I have run out of time for the rest of this article. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, and print disabilities. This podcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. I'm Doris Hyde.